Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the must-have accessories department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, you know, one of the hottest items being sold these days...
In the auto accessory
in the
arena?
Auto, the auto accessory field. Can you take a stab at it? People who own SUVs are buying this product.
People who own SUVs...
They can't keep it on the shelves.
Buying this product. Gee, I'm going to say uncle. It's not fuzzy dice, obviously.
It's not fuzzy dice.
And it's not rhino protection. It's not, you know, for your headlights.
No, it's close, though. It's close to that.
No, okay, what?
It's spray-on mud. Right? There's a company here which is called... The product is spray-on mud. I'll read you a little bit of the ad.
Go ahead.
Spray-on mud, all one word, is a specially formulated spray-on product for anyone who wants to give friends, neighbors, colleagues, or just anyone at all the impression that they have been off-road or at the very least out in the country for the weekend.
Yes.
If you've got a 4x4 or off-roader, spray-on mud will send a message to anyone who disapproves or is just plain envious that you use your off-roader off the road as well as on it. Spray-on mud is not to be used to obscure your number plate and blah, blah, blah. We know that.
Of course not, although I hadn't thought of it until they mentioned it. Good for bank robbers and the like.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Isn't that, I mean, we lost our opportunity. That's a brilliant idea.
Well, we need no further evidence that we are living in a society in rapid decline. Jeez.
We are, yeah.
Well, if you want some answers that are in rapid decline, give us a call about your car.
But we could have been millionaires.
Yeah.
Spray on mud.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
G'day. My name's John from Portland in Oregon.
Hi, John from Portland in Oregon. What's up?
Well, I got a 93 Volkswagen Fox. And
yeah.
When I first had it, I was out in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and it ran around just like a little sewing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Then I drove from Asbury Park all the way out to Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the trouble started. It'd be like about every 300-400 miles, all of a sudden it'd lose power, it'd start chugging and almost conk out. And we'd get out, show the people what was wrong, and they'd say, oh, you got fuel in the engine. And they'd fix that up. And so every 400 miles, I'm forking out like $100, $200. They put in two new fuel pumps along the way. Then finally, I got to Rapid City in South Dakota, and the man says, well, this is a fault in this car.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get a special part for it because it builds up static electricity.
Really?
And it's called a harness, he said. Harness for the airflow sensor.
Ah.
Anyway, they put it in. Then 200 miles later, it starts doing the same thing again.
Bummer.
So what I found, but this is the embarrassing thing of it. Now what? The only thing I can do is I have to get up, open up the bonnet,
yeah,
and touch it all over the engine.
The laying on of hands?
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm a Catholic priest. I'm always dressed up in my clericals, and I jump out of the car, lay hands all over.
And this works.
It works.
You can make a fortune, Padre.
I can.
Yeah. You could be out there on the freeways every day. Oh, man.
That's
wasting,
all it takes, huh?
You're wasting your time saving souls.
Yeah, and Snap-on is wasting its time selling tools. I mean, you don't need the tools if we have you.
Well, I'm having sometimes more luck with my car than I do on some of the parishioners.
Ah.
But, I mean, does it still happen?
Still happens.
But does it happen every 300 or 400 miles?
No. It'll happen...
Sporadically. Well, let me tell you a little story. Our nephew, Matthew, who's also been known as Pork Chop Boy, owing to the fact that he couldn't get any dates and had to tie a pork chop around his neck even to get the dog to play with him, had a late model Volkswagen, which also has an airflow sensor like your car. I forget what year it was. And he had exactly the same problem
We tried a million different things, none of which involved replacing the airflow sensor because, as you may know, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
But I suspect that that's the problem. And I'm not sure that even replacing it would fix it because if there's a design flaw, it may not get fixed because the same flaw will be in the new one. But I think that's what's wrong with his. And what finally fixed his car
was he sold it.
Was he got hit by a bread truck twice. One of his friends arranged it. I don't know how that happened. The first time didn't kill it, but the second shot did it in.
Yeah, well, the bread truck had to back up to get him again.
but I think that if you're going to fix this thing, you're going to have to buy yourself a new airflow sensor. And the harness, I think, was an attempt at solving the problem. But if there was a static buildup, it may have damaged the delicate circuitry in the airflow sensor and been too late for the harness to do any good.
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In other words, the harness was designed to prevent further damage or prevent any damage. But once the damage had been done,
right,
then the harness wouldn't do any good. But now that you have the harness,
right,
a new airflow sensor may solve the problem.
So you're not going to address the laying on of hands mystery? I mean, there's got to be...
You know me,
is there not a technical explanation for when Padre opens the hood and lays on the hands that everything is okay?
Well, I'm sure there is.
I mean, within minutes, Father?
It takes like 30 seconds. That's
30 seconds?
I have to turn the car off and lay hands on it, cursing all the time.
Right.
Yeah, I think... Come on, Father. I think the 30 seconds is the crucial...
Yeah.
Component here.
You do this in the middle of the freeway, it's bloody...
Scary.
Yeah, when there's no little side parts to put the car.
Yeah. See if you can get a parishioner to ride with you and let them try the laying on the hands.
Tell them you're going to teach him the art of laying
of
on the hands and make sure that you don't get out of the car on those busy freeways. It's safer to get out on the passenger side anyway.
Bloody hell.
So you tell the passenger, you get out and open the hood, and I'll let you know if it works.
Yeah, great.
And as soon as it starts, you just leave him there by the side.
Good luck, Father.
Good day. Thank you. Cheer, boy.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278.
We used to do incantations, which was similar
to the laying on
of hands. Yeah,
but I didn't think it was appropriate here. I mean, Cloth ought to be able to do his own.
It's different, actually.
Yeah. You haven't done one in a while.
We haven't. No,
like
we haven't.
You like to do one just for the fun of it?
No. I'll wait until someone is broken down by the side of the road, and then I'll use it.
Your wife's online, too. 1-888.
You can't waste incantations.
Oh, no.
No.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary from Greeley, Colorado.
Hi, Mary.
Greeley,
yeah, like Horace.
Yes, exactly. It is named after Horace.
It's named after him. That's where what he meant when he said go west.
He did.
He was in Greeley.
He wanted
everyone to get out.
West from there or west from here?
No, from here.
West from there.
So he ended up in Greeley, Colorado.
That's right.
Ah, you know, when we die, we're going to go to a place called Malyotse, because that's where people are telling us to go.
Okay.
So what's up, Mary?
Well, my car is drinking coolant. And I've taken it to three mechanics, and they all say, we can't find anything, but it must be going into the block, so we recommend you buy a new engine for $2,800.
Do it.
Do it.
Okay, next call.
No.
Well, it depends on how hard they've looked.
Well, each of them have pressurized it and said it doesn't lose any pressure. And they said for $360, they could tear it down further and tell me for sure if it's going into the block, but I should count on it. But the next mechanic said, if it's not blowing white smoke and your oil level isn't going up and your oil isn't milky, it's probably not going into the block.
So pray tell, where is it going? If it isn't going into the block or the oil or coming out the tailpipe.
On the ground.
Yeah, it's not going, they can't find a leak and it's not leaking under it.
Both of those guys gave you a rather superficial, sophomoric, I might even say, answer.
No, I wouldn't go that far because that might be our answer, too.
In our opinion.
It would help us immensely if we knew what kind of a car it was.
No, it won't.
Oh, it's a Ford Explorer.
That doesn't help us at all.
No,
oh,
that doesn't.
Great.
And how many miles are on it?
97,000.
Hmm.
Now, my other question is, well, so if it is going to the block, maybe I shall just drive it until it has to have a new block.
You could do that.
How much, what's the rate of consumption?
I'm probably putting a quarter to a third a gallon a week in it.
Quarter to a third of a gallon a week.
So cost is not a factor. I mean, it's
no.
It's practically inconsequential.
Mm. Yeah.
And ethylene glycol is great for the environment anyway. Makes trees grow, makes evil people die, makes good people die.
Keeps ponds from freezing in the winter.
I would
have to agree that it's very likely to be the block.
Okay.
If you had an external leak and they put the pressure tester on it and left it on long enough, they would see something on the floor of their shop.
And, yeah. why I say it depends on how hard they looked. Because if they just put the pressure tester on, left it on for 15 minutes, and concluded that there's no leak, then that's not enough.
They said they left it on at 25 pounds for an hour and a half.
Not long enough.
Not
either.
Long enough.
What
oh.
we do when we have vehicles like this is we tell the customer to leave the thing overnight. We run the engine with our little device on there. We have a cooling system pressure tester. And we run the engine and let it build up its own pressure. So as the engine runs, even in the absence of this device, you would build up pressure in the cooling system somewhere around 14 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And when it gets to that point, we shut the thing off. So the engine is now really warmed up. And then we pump it up usually to about 20 pounds. And we let it sit there overnight. And we pick a dry spot so that if there's anything leaking out, we'll see it the next morning.
Usually one of the guys in the shop volunteers to stay overnight and lie underneath the vehicle.
Right, with a flashlight clenched in his teeth.
I mean, these guys are dedicated,
so
you know?
It may take that long. If you have a leak that's that small and you're leaking a drop here, a drop there, it may be that you have an external leak, but they haven't looked for it diligently enough.
Okay.
But have them do that test, and I bet you may find out that the water pump is leaking or some such thing.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have it tested again.
Yeah. And you can always put a can of bars leak in the radiator or some such thing. And hope that solves the problem.
And it's worth doing in a car with 100,000 miles on?
It's worth it. It's mandatory.
Good luck, Mary.
Thanks.
See ya.
Okay, bye-bye.
Mandatory, huh?
I think so. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Donna from Seattle, Washington.
Donna, how's the Camaro, baby?
no Camaro today.
I couldn't resist. And it's a stereotype is a terrible thing.
Yes.
It's a terrible thing.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I need your expert advice to settle a conflict between the men in my life.
Oh, wait, between the men in your life?
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Well,
not between you and the men.
My brother has a warped mind. You do. It could be like her father and her husband or her...
What kind of fun would that be?
There you go.
Who are these men in your life?
Well, about 6 weeks ago, I retired my 87 Toyota Tercel, and I purchased a new Toyota Camry, and I plan to drive that for the next several years.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, and my husband insists that I must not allow the gas level to go below a quarter of a tank.
He's nuts.
He says it has something to do with the dregs from the engine going into the carburetor.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Yeah, and you have no carburetor in the Camry.
Okay.
So
there are no dregs in the engine. The dregs are in the wine bottles that you got down in the basement.
Yeah, well, the guy's at the office, so I come home and I say, well, dear, you know, I don't like those inconvenient trips to the gas station, and I like to drive it to empty. And the guys at the office say, you know, your idea is ridiculous. The new gas filters and everything do such a good job, I can drive to empty. But he insists that somewhere he heard that I must not drive below a quarter tank.
Probably on our show. I mean, I recommend people don't drive below a quarter of a tank for a lot of different reasons, one of which is that the pump is immersed in the gas and it's cooled off by it.
Yeah.
The fuel pump in this car is inside the gas tank.
Okay.
And the gasoline keeps the pump cool.
Okay.
Because it's, conductive, conducts the heat away. So that's a good reason to not go below a quarter. But and running out of gas is another good reason not to go below a quarter. But other than that, this dregs theory is bogus.
Is bogus.
The dregs theory.
No water in the tank or fuel injectors that need to be happy or anything like that. No.
They'll be happy. You have a very efficient fuel filter in this car.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've solved my problem, except that I won't have harmony with my husband now.
Well, who are the men in your life?
Well, the guys at the office.
Interesting.
So we're faced with the idea that we have to tell your husband that he's nuts and the guys at the office that they're right.
Exactly.
Well, considering there are more of them.
And are they bigger? Yeah. How big is your husband? Is he a big, strong guy?
He's 6'4".
Don't mention the word nuts, then.
Okay.
No.
I didn't mean that.
Right, or unbalanced, or anything like that.
Wacko. We didn't say any of those things, except that, yes, he was... In the 87th Tercel, he would have been absolutely right.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's a good way to do
it. How about that?
Yeah.
But tell him that we said that the new technology in gas tanks...
And the improvements, the most recent improvements, I think last month, in fuel filter technology has made this a non-item.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell him any of this. Anything that'll shut him up. It's all complete nonsense.
Yeah, anything that'll keep him from getting violent, especially toward us. See you.
I get it.
See you, Donna.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
There are so many theories, man. Oh. I love it.
It's so little time.
So little time.
All right, Tommy, do you remember anything about last week's Puzzler?
You want the honest answer? I have no idea.
Well, it takes place in Borneo, and it involves sedated pigs, dead chickens, and a sparrow.
Sounds like Christmas dinner.
at your house. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm shifting into high gear, power chrome and steel. I got a trick down the ratio bulb and I can feel the high performance clutch just crowded in the trance. I got the motor pushing red line. I feel like a man. The fuel injected valve ports burning up the gas. When it all comes together, you know we're going fast. Well, this is super bad race car 446. I got an Indy loop suspension and the back's all trick. I got a high four wheel scoop turbo underneath it. You can drive it into fifth gear, steel here, squeak. And nothing on the highway ever passes by. Without a creek and dodge your blast, and I'm waving. Bye bye.
And even though monarch butterflies try to crawl back into their cocoons whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
Comedian Nicole Byer doesn't consider herself body positive. She just accepts herself as is.
I hate that there's a name for, like, not hating a part of who you are. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's insane.
Nicole Byer on her new book, Very Fat, Very Brave, and How to Love Yourself. Listen to It's Been a Minute from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's Puzzler.
But first, the question.
Oh, yeah.
The sparrow. It's coming back to me. Is there a big truck involved in a bridge?
Yeah. You remember the story of the Bridge of San Luis Rey by Thornton Wilder?
I've read it.
You read it. When did you read it?
A couple of years ago.
No, you read it when he first wrote it in 1937.
I read the galley proofs.
Well, this is the story of the Bridge of Tom and Ray. In Borneo, there's a bridge connecting two islands that's constructed of bamboo lashed together with hemp. It's been used for hundreds of years, pedestrian traffic and vehicular traffic move in both directions, and the bridge is 4 miles long.
I'm with you. I can see it now.
Is the old picture painted?
I can see 4 miles of hemp holding up people and things.
And
cars.
Bamboo.
Bamboo, yeah.
And the bridge has a weight limit of 20 tons. So one day a truck pulls up to the bridge and the officials stop him and say, we have to weigh you because it looks like it's going to be close to the weight limit. So he drives onto the scale and the truck is full of sedated pigs, pig iron, and dead chickens. With the driver in the truck, it weighs exactly 20 tons.
Man.
What are the chances of that?
What are the chances?
So the guy at the other end of the bridge gets the signal. He weighs all the other traffic off the bridge. Clearly, if the weight limit's 20 tons, they can't allow anyone else on the bridge.
No.
So now the bridge is empty, and this fellow is allowed to drive across. As he is crossing the bridge, a sparrow begins to follow alongside.
No! What are the chances of that?
Then it begins to hover over the truck, flapping his wings. And just when he's a little beyond
this sparrow hasn't had, like, chili for lunch.
It may have. And just when he's a little beyond the halfway point on the bridge, the sparrow gets ready to land and does land on the truck. What does the driver do to keep the truck and the sedated pigs and the dead chickens from plunging into
the abyss?
The abyss, or the 4 feet of water that's below the under the bridge.
Wow. What a great question.
Well,
what does he do?
What does he do?
Not what happens, but what does the driver do?
Or what can he do? Well,
what can he do?
He could do a lot of things. For example, figuring that his shoe weighs more than a sparrow.
He could throw a shoe,
out the window.
Yeah.
Or he could jettison something else.
Yeah.
But he needn't do anything.
Wow.
Trick question. What does he do? He does nothing. Because in driving from the beginning of the bridge to the halfway point,
yeah,
a 20-ton truck is going to what? Consume fuel.
Oh.
And it'll easily consume an amount of fuel that's greater than the weight of the sparrow. So when the sparrow lands on the truck, nothing happens.
Oh, man.
Do we have a winner?
Yes. Our winner this week is Ruth Bogus from Port Byron, Illinois. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Ruth is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, where she can get an extremely skimpy Car Talk bikini.
What? We're selling bikinis?
Oh, sorry. I meant a T-shirt. What did I say? I meant a lovely 100% cotton Car Talk T-shirt.
You're losing it, man.
It happens to me whenever the weather warms up. I get distracted thinking of bikinis all the time.
Well, anyway, we'll have a brand new... it's certainly not automotive.
And I got to remember this one because this might be my last shot.
Yeah, well, it's from the wonderful world of law. And that'll be coming up in the third half of the
law.
Show today. So don't go anywhere. Right now, if you have a question about your car, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tom from Morristown, New Jersey.
Hi, Tom. Morristown?
Morristown, not as opposed to Morristown.
Oh, that's confusing.
Well, I need help.
All right.
I need car help, and I need marriage help.
And we're here for you, Tom. We're here for you, Ben.
I drive a 1990 Acura Integra, and it used to be my wife's. Mm-hmm. So then we go off, and she, of course, gets herself a nice, big, fat Expedition because we have thousands of kids. And I get her car.
Mm-hmm.
The master cylinder, I believe, is going out. And I learned that from listening to you guys. That when I step on the brake, it sort of relaxes away from me down to the floorboard. And then if I pump on it, if I just stamp on it, it stops right away. That's not a problem.
Sounds like the master cylinder to me.
Well, so here's my question. I'm thinking about getting a new car anyway.
Well, don't drive this one in the meantime. I mean, you're not driving this car, are you?
Only every day to work and back.
Well, that's all right.
So I shouldn't say, for instance, wait till August or September to get a new car.
No, you can wait as long as you want to get the new car, but you can't wait to fix the master cylinder.
No, unless you want them to chisel on your tombstone, I told them there was something wrong with my brakes.
But this is going to cost me a lot of money.
It's a few hundred bucks.
A few hundred bucks?
Including the labor.
Thousands.
No, this is cheap.
Okay. Maybe you gentlemen can now help me with the marriage question.
Okay.
I'm going to sell this car sooner or later, and I want to get the girlfriend car, instead of the girlfriend car. I want to get like a two-seater convertible, et cetera, for, you know, a guy with three kids and that kind of thing. And I want to get it with standard transmission. Now, my wife...
You mean this is a car with which you would pick up your girlfriend?
No, this is in lieu of a girlfriend.
Oh, that's what a girlfriend car means.
But if you got a girlfriend, you could use it to pick her up.
So, in lieu of a girlfriend, yeah. And you want to get a stick shift, and your wife doesn't want you to
You
do
got it.
It.
She does not know how to drive a stick.
What's the car?
I was thinking like, you know, Miata or something like that.
Okay, well, be careful, because the Miata is getting a reputation as a chick car.
I know. I was thinking of that, too. I was thinking about a used Porsche Boxster.
That's a chick car.
Really?
No.
Get out of here.
No, not even close.
It doesn't matter which one you get. The basic question still is, do you get the stick shift or not?
Right.
And I have kind of the same problem because I have a car that my wife can't drive.
Okay.
And she says, well, if we're going to have...
Which one would that be? Can't or won't?
I have a car that nobody can drive, as a matter of fact. And she says, if we're going to have two cars, then I ought to be able to drive both of them, because what if in an emergency I need to take your car instead of mine? I can't drive it.
Exactly.
To which I say, tough. That's it.
Gee, that's not very nice.
No, that's it. I mean, what's the sense of getting a Boxster if you're going to get an automatic transmission?
Does the Integra have a stick shift?
No, because it used to be her car. Now, I had a nice a Honda Civic back when I was in medical school that had a stick shift, but I had to give up my car when she got the Expedition.
No,
Here's my one sentiment about stick shift.
Yes.
You live in New Jersey.
Yes.
Which has high population density.
Highest in the country.
And therefore, traffic.
Yes.
I hate driving stick shift in traffic. I don't care how good the clutch is, how smooth the shifter is. It really starts to wear you down after a while, especially if it's every day sitting in stop-and-go traffic. You will flip out.
Nah. Come on.
Tom.
It's worth every ounce of left leg that you lose.
All right.
I think you have to go with the stick shift.
All right, I'm going with the stick shift.
Because, I mean, what's the sense of getting the car if it's going to have an automatic, wussy little automatic transmission in it? You might as well get yourself a Taurus.
All right.
You'll regret it.
Gentlemen, when my wife kicks me out of the house, I'm driving straight to Cambridge.
Drive straight to Cambridge. You can sleep in my garage with me.
Right.
So you're a doctor.
Yes.
But you'll be able to treat that condition that you get. Okay, what kind of a doctor are you? A real doctor?
I'm a colorectal surgeon, erstwhile known as a proctologist.
Really?
Honest to God. No one would ever kid about that.
No, we don't.
Then you should buy a Ford Probe.
I got plenty of probes.
Hey, thanks for calling, Tom.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Linda from Kotzebue, Alaska.
Linda.
Another wacko from Alaska. How you doing, Linda?
I'm doing good.
Where in Alaska? Way up or all way down?
Way up. Kotzebue is about 30 miles north of the Arctic Circle.
North of the Arctic.
You know, I can't even conceive of that. 30
So what frozen fish facility are you working at?
I can't believe. I mean, and get this. She wasn't born there. She went there of her own free will.
Otters are born there.
Of my own volition.
Of your own free will, you went to Achapachi there, Alaska.
Okefenokee, Alaska, yeah.
Well, you know, it's not as bad as people might say.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful place.
Right.
No, I'll bet it's not.
No, I mean,
I'll bet
it be?
It's worse. I can't even conceive. This is the classic two seasons, you know, like July 15th and winter.
But we'll give you the benefit of the doubt, and we'll give you an opportunity to extol the virtues of Okefenokee, Alaska, wherever it is that you live. But how can we help you in the meantime?
Well, here's my question. I have a team of 9 sled dogs, and they need to get exercise in the summer as well as the winter. Winter part is easy, but in the summer, we have to hook them up to something with wheels and have them run up and down the few roads that we have around here to get a little exercise.
So you want some kind of a vehicle on wheels that they can pull around?
We have a vehicle, and what I want to know is how best we should use this. It's a brand-new all-terrain vehicle. It's a Honda with 4-wheel drive manual transmission, and we'll hook the dogs up to the front of this and have them pull it down the road with us sitting on the back. We were debating on whether we should leave it in neutral and have the dogs pull it. However, we think we might wear our brakes out really fast, holding the dogs back or trying to slow them down or stop them. Or should we leave it in gear and let them pull it?
Woof.
Or would that be bad for the transmission?
That would be bad for the dogs. I mean, how big is this thing?
It's an ATV. It's, you know,
it's a little thing.
It's one of those things you drive in the woods, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And you're wondering if you could leave it, if you could put it in, see, if you put it in gear.
No, you don't want to do that.
The engine's going to turn over.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I don't think I'd want you to do that.
I don't want to do that.
Because I think you're going to wreck the engine.
Okay.
Here's what I like better.
Plus, I mean, it's going to be tough. I guess the problem is this thing is too easy to pull for these nine dogs.
Yeah, we need to be able to slow them down. Or for training purposes, too, we need them to work a little harder.
Well, this thing is too small. I mean, what does this thing weigh? It can't even weigh 1,000 pounds.
I don't know how much it weighs, but yeah, I think it's under 1,000.
Well, I think that's the problem. It's too light, and you need ballast.
Yeah.
And what the best ballast I can come up with is...
More dogs.
No, put nine dogs in the front, two in the back.
That's pulling the other way. That's it. You'll do a tug of war with them.
The cement blocks.
Yeah, you're going to sit in this thing, right, while they pull?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And you're going to say, mush, mush.
Yeah.
Hike.
All so right. Wait, let's go back. Can we go back a step?
Yeah, I want to go back two steps.
Okay.
How'd you get there? Where are you really from?
Well, I grew up in Illinois, but I've been working for the National Park Service for a lot of years, and we park rangers like to travel around, and Alaska's a pretty exciting place to come to. It's sort of like being in the Peace Corps up here, so we thought this would be an interesting place to go.
So there are other people up there besides just you. Is that true?
Yes, there's actually 3,000 people in this town.
And how many dogs?
Oh.
Sounds like it's about 10-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
30,000 dogs. Oh, that's why they call it the Calcan Highway. I mean, I would use the brakes, and then if you really have to slow the thing down, like on a downhill, I would put it in gear. Now, you don't have to put it in first. You can put it in high gear.
Right.
Well, whatever gear seems to maintain the right speed so you don't run over the dogs. I mean, that would be
okay.
Important.
But, I mean,
I'm not worried about the engine. Is it under warranty?
Yeah, it's brand new.
You should read the book to find out if there are any prohibitions about such. I mean, what's the chance that they're going to have something in there
about pulling
being
it with
pulled
the dogs.
By sled dogs? I think you got a pretty good chance of being able to do it without damaging the thing.
Okay, so you suggest using the brakes mostly, but if I really need a lot of help, then to go ahead and put it in gear and use the gears.
Yeah, because the brakes are easy to replace. And, I mean, my first choice would be cement blocks.
Yeah, that would be the best and easiest thing to do. Just make the thing heavier.
Yeah.
Or you could rig something up that would drag on the ground.
Exactly.
You know, like some kind of a stick that you could use to dig into the ground that would slow you down enough, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need like a blade, you know.
It would be nice if you could make this useful.
Right, well, like a blade that you'd use on a road grader.
Yeah.
So maybe we could grade the road.
You could grade the road.
You could make new roads, right?
All right.
You say, where do you want the road? And that's where you take the dog.
And the amount of cut that you take with the blade will determine how slow the vehicle is. I would try to fashion. Don't forget, you got plenty of time.
Well, we have to be good at making up things from scratch and a lot of jerry-rigging up here in this faraway place. So I think we can probably fashion a road grader.
You can do it, Linda.
Yep.
See ya.
Thanks for your help.
Good luck.
Have
good
fun.
Good luck.
Bye. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Well, she sounds like a lot of fun.
You know, all the people we've talked to from Alaska who we think are wackos all sound like they're having
a lot
of
fun. There's hardly anyone there that doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
They're there because they want to be there, and that's where they want to be, and that's it. And they seem to be pretty happy about it.
I mean, most of us stay where we are because we feel that we have to.
And we don't know how to get out of here.
And we can't escape, right. Our wives won't let us.
Yeah. But they're not driving to work getting stuck in traffic every day.
No. So there's something to be said for that.
And you don't have a horn on a dog sled, so you can't hear rap, rap, and all that craziness that we hear in the city. I think I might be considering this. I love the cold.
Okay, it's time for me and my brother to take a short break and work up a detailed outline for the next 20 minutes of the show.
I have the outline, and here it's right here. Roman numeral one.
Go ahead.
Take calls. Roman numeral two. Fool around.
I thought fool around was one, and take calls was two. We'll have to discuss this.
We'll have to discuss this.
We'll be back in a minute.
I got a big old truck, and she got 18 wheels. With a hammer down, I'm thinking how great I feel. Get to my destination, unload all this frustration, and to finally get on with what I know is real.
And even though tear-shaped boulders run down the faces on Mount Rushmore whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
I'm Gregory Warner with NPR's Rough Translation. So there's a holiday in the Netherlands where every year thousands of white folks wear blackface. Some people are trying to end that tradition, but in a very Dutch way.
You talk until you reach consensus.
Can you fight racism in a way that brings the whole country with you? That's on NPR's Rough Translation.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Mm.
Okay, and I did say this is from the wonderful world of law.
Yeah, but and is it?
Well, kind of. I mean,
yeah. It doesn't have to be. No, you can make it up anything you want.
No, and this came in actually very recently from a fellow named Doug Whiting, and I think it's, you know, it's kind of nice. I think it's a kind of a feather in his cap that this should be the last Puzzler of the season.
The last one.
I believe so, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. This
interesting.
This is like the seventh game of the World Series, baby.
See, I believe, that's the kind of faith I have in you. You could, in the middle of the show there, when you say we got another puzzle coming up, you could say anything. Law, automotive.
Oh, I can make anything be anything.
And then
obfuscate away.
Obfuscate away, and no matter what the puzzle was, you could make it fit that description. I know you could do that.
On a good day.
So go ahead with this.
Well, here's what Doug wrote. I went to my attorney's office the other day and was seated in the conference room. That's where they make you wait, you know.
Yeah.
And because I was waiting for my attorney to have his way with another client, you know. And while I was sitting there, I was looking around the conference room at the impressive collection of law books. And I think they put you in there, so
yeah.
You are impressed with all the knowledge.
Yeah.
That your attorney has, and that way you don't get too upset when you get that bill for $485 an hour. I might be adding a little bit to his.
It's always interesting that there's no lawyer in the room looking at any of these books.
No, because they know everything that's in them already. They're there for you to look at.
Yeah.
Though most of the law books contained dozens of volumes and were indexed with very specific descriptions, one set of law books consisted of just two volumes. The first was A through M, okay? The first book, A through M, like aardvark through moron, okay? And the second was N through W, okay? Like ninny through wombat, right?
Mm-hmm.
At first, I wondered what happened to the last volume, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Maybe it was being used to research a case. It was the only book maybe missing from the shelf.
Ah.
But then I figured out that there was no missing volume, that these two books were it. And the question is, why? Why was there no X, Y, and Z? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $26 bill. Is that 26 number coming up again?
Here it is.
And send it to Puzzler Tower.
I'm working on the solution right now.
Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500. Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But call us right now if you dare to. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, fellas. This is Ed.
Ed! I'm glad you called.
Why's that?
I don't know. Where are you from?
I'm from Boston.
No kidding. What part?
Brighton, actually.
Brighton.
across the river from you guys.
Yeah.
I know where Brighton Center is. Are you near there?
Ah, not far. Not far.
Cool.
What's going on, Ed?
I have this Honda Civic. It is a two-door hatchback with 160,000 miles on it, and it is a car that I love.
Mm.
It drives really well. It's very, well, it used to be very dependable. And so about 3 weeks ago, a couple buddies and myself, we were going to go mountain biking up a little north of the city here, and so we piled the bikes into the car, and we went up to this place called the Fells. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Middlesex Fells Reservation.
That's the one, yeah.
Nice place.
It's a great place. So
we lost a few Cub Scouts there one year, but that's another story altogether.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen your Cub Scouts. But,
if well, you should run across
they'd
them.
They'd be grown men now.
Give my brother a call.
Answering the name of Bigfoot.
All right. So
how many bikes and how many people? Three?
Okay.
Three of each?
Three bikes, three people, right?
Got it. Okay.
So we get to this little parking lot there, and I pull in, and it's kind of this parking lot where you have to parallel park into the spaces. So I get to this space and begin to parallel park and put it in the reverse and hear this really horrible noise as if the exhaust has fallen out of the car and is just dragging on the street.
Stick shift?
Yep. And so I took it to my mechanic, and the car needed a new clutch anyway. So I said to them, you know, could you do the clutch and could you check out this noise? Well, the guy gives me a call back and says, well, we've replaced your clutch, but when we pulled the transmission off the car, we found out that one of the rods has a bolt that broke off. This is probably the noise that you heard. So he fixes it. I get the car back. The following weekend, go to do the exact same thing.
Huh.
The car makes the exact same noise.
But up until that time, you had backed up into other parking spots.
Yep, yep.
Without the make the noise or tell us what the noise is again.
It sounds like the exhaust has fallen off the car, so it's broken in half. It's fallen off the car, and you're backing up, and so you're dragging the exhaust.
So it sounds like
something like that, yeah.
And this is, let's get it exactly straight here. This has happened after you have put it into reverse.
Yep.
And the car is moving in the backwardly direction.
Yes.
Is there any inclination involved here, uphill
nope,
or downhill?
It's perfectly flat.
All right, now, is it correct to say that one of the distinguishing features of the two different conditions, what you drive the car all week, you back up into spaces.
I know the difference.
Hills, no difference. But when you get to the Fells, is it correct that that is the most weight that you have
yes.
in the car all week? Two,
yeah.
Three guys
actually,
and three
yeah.
bikes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think you. I hypothesized
it.
That your exhaust system was dragging on the ground.
You were right.
You
almost.
Were closer to it than you think.
I think so too.
I think the exhaust system is hitting the undercarriage of the car, and I think it's doing that because you have a broken motor mount. So when you put the thing in reverse. And the motor pitches the other way.
The torque
of the engine is forcing the exhaust system up against the floor of the car.
Oh,
where
man,
it is rattling
I
against
love it.
The heat shield.
There's
Whoa,
a
heat
that
shield.
Is amazing.
Isn't that good?
And all it has got to do is just touch that heat shield. There's a piece of sheet metal that's actually attached to the floor of the car that shields the inside of the car from the heat of the exhaust system.
And if the exhaust system touches that thing, it's going to vibrate like crazy.
And it sounds like hell.
You guys are great.
Ask the mechanic to check the motor mounts.
I definitely will
and
do that.
And that's going to do it, man.
All right.
If it doesn't, just don't take these two guys anymore to the
Make
Fels.
One of them ride up to the Fells.
Exactly. Yeah. They'll feel better. See you later, Ed.
Thanks very much,
Thanks
Ed.
For your call.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mindy calling from Minneapolis.
Oh, Mindy from
Minneapolis.
Yes.
Isn't that nice?
What's up, Mindy?
Well, I have a problem with my car, and our neighbor's garage burnt down, and my car was parked about 5 or 6 feet away from the garage. And in the inferno, my car bubbled and dented and all
oh,
the
got
plastic
singed.
Kind of melted.
Yeah, got
yeah.
singed, huh?
Yeah, really singed.
Yeah.
And my question is, as the metal is dented and the paint is all peeling off, and people I take it to tell me that the tires are fine, which seems really odd to me. As I'm driving along the road, I'm just waiting for the tires to explode, but they say my tires are fine.
Wow, that's you're right to be amazed at that.
Yeah?
I think they're crazy.
Well, I'm not so surprised by it.
What do you mean? The metal? It was hot enough for the metal to actually bend?
Yeah, I mean, big dents.
Dents?
Yeah.
And the tires were able to sustain?
The the tires look fine, but I'm waiting for them to explode as I drive along the road.
Well, I think, if they were sufficiently hot, they would have exploded already.
Okay.
And I think you'd see some evidence, and you'd be able to feel that there was something different about the two tires on that side than the other side. Obviously, if you're worried about it, you should just replace the tires.
Why should she? I think the issue is the insurance company is telling her that the tires are okay because
they
don't want to pay.
Okay.
As we know, insurance companies are all run by a bunch of sleazeballs, in my opinion. And they're trying to get out of buying her two tires for the right side of her car.
And if one of these tires should fail and you should die,
then
your insurance company would have to pay off and not theirs. It would be poetic justice if you had the same insurance company as your neighbor.
Sure, because, I mean, when you're dead, no one's going to be worried about the car. They're going to just say, okay, well, Mindy's dead. Let's pay off her insurance company.
Right. And one of her tires blew, but they'll never make the connection.
Have you asked them? How can that be? How can rubber withstand heat more than metal?
They tell me that as you're driving down the road, your tires get just as hot as...
As a fire in the garage? I don't think...
No.
So I shouldn't go for this.
No, I wouldn't fall for that. Just tell them that you've heard, you don't know where, that insurance companies are run by a bunch of sleazeballs who won't admit to anything if it's going to cost them a dollar.
Okay, I'll write that down.
But you don't remember. You don't remember where you heard this.
Oh, okay.
No names, please.
No names, please. But it sure sounds bogus to me.
Well, I just have to ask, where the blistering of the paint and the dents?
The paint is blistered even on the other side of the car, where the fire...
Wasn't.
The side of the car where the fire was, it's blistered all up and down and peeling. But the other side of the car is even blistered, so...
I mean, did you witness this conflagration?
Oh, my, yes.
And it was 5 or 6 feet away from the garage.
Yes.
That was in flames.
Yes. The car that was inside the garage exploded.
Yeah, well, I think, Mindy, you're absolutely right, and I would refuse to accept this conclusion from these guys.
Okay.
And you want them to show you the data and the evidence that proves that tires can take higher temperature than iron.
Okay.
You want to see the data that says
that. So it'll be Mindy against the insurance companies.
Yeah, and remember...
But you guys aren't backing
you
me
did,
up.
Don't mention it here.
Don't mention my name.
No, Mindy, we're behind you.
We are behind you.
We're way behind you, but
okay.
We're behind you.
You're really far behind me, though.
Good luck. Put up the good fight and tell them not to be cheap, for God's sake.
Come on, after all, it's a couple of tires. It's $200. You pay them that every month for insurance.
Tell them
to shape up.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
All righty.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Boy.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Michael from Niagara Falls.
Michael.
From our side?
From our side, from the New York side, yeah.
Okay.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
The situation is that my father-in-law has a 1990 Lincoln town car. And I'm not there a lot, actually. I'm not in, my wife and I travel a lot. We're opera singers.
Ah.
And we travel a lot, and when we are back home in Niagara Falls, we drive that car.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that he's got a problem with the car, and he says that if I can figure out what's wrong with it, I can actually have the car. Because he's taken it, he's very loyal, and he's taken it to the same mechanics for 30 years.
Yeah.
We'll just call them Vinny and Rocco. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about Sacco and Vanzetti?
And
that's good.
Despite the fact that they cannot fix the problem, he keeps taking it back to them, and I keep complaining about this.
Yeah.
I hate to throw a wet blanket on the whole thing.
Yeah.
But doesn't it stand to reason that if he can't fix it, then he'd give you the car, but if you could fix it, he'd keep the car?
Well, he's just trying to shut me up, you see.
Oh, he's tired of you complaining.
He's trying to prove me wrong. He doesn't think that I'll figure out what's wrong with it, so he doesn't think he's in any danger.
Right, and Michael is saying, why do you keep going back to Vinny and Rocco? They're a bunch of dummies. They don't know what's going
on.
That's
right.
And his father-in-law is basically saying, you're so smart,
you'll
figure it out.
He's very confident that I won't be able to figure it out because I'm just I'm a musician. I'm an opera singer. I don't know anything.
And we're pretty confident that we won't be able to figure it out either.
Well, here's what happens. Every time I turn the steering wheel all the way to the right or to the left, say I'm pulling into a parking place or parallel parking or something like that.
Gotcha.
It stalls. Mm. And it idles very strangely until I straighten out the car, and then it's all right.
This a continental or a town car?
It's a town car.
Town car. Okay. Yeah. Just checking.
And he's taken it in a couple of times to these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a lot like the guy who comes in and says, "It hurts my arm, doctor, when I do this." And he says, Don't do that.
Yeah. Do that. Yeah.
They say, "You're turning the wheel too far. Don't turn it that far." And that's the answer. And I just can't believe that's really the answer.
Really? So they haven't actually fixed anything?
No.
Okay.
Well.
And the car otherwise runs relatively fine.
Yeah, there haven't been many problems with it.
He doesn't have any cold start problem with it. He starts up when the engine's cold and runs.
Yeah, it does start up when the engine's cold, no problem.
Okay. Otherwise, it idles very smoothly. It has lots of power.
Yeah, yeah.
This vehicle has a boost circuit when the power steering is used. Mm-hmm. And what that means is there is a little pressure-sensitive device in the high-pressure power steering hose, mm-hmm. which reads the pressure and changes the resistance of this little thing. And that, in turn, tells the computer to send a signal
speed up the engine.
To the idle air control and speed up the engine so that when you have the wheel turned to lock, mm-hmm. the engine's supposed to speed up so it doesn't,
stall.
There right. you go.
Oh, okay.
So it may be that this sensor in the power steering line is disconnected or not working, or it may be that even though the computer is sending the signal to the idle air control, it isn't responding. I would have to go with the sensor as the first thing because it's cheaper.
Right.
And it may be that it's
and
just
being
unplugged.
Disconnected is even cheaper than that.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
so it
you
might
should
be disconnected.
I mean, wouldn't you be a genius, Michael?
Oh, if you fixed it, not just figured out what's wrong with it,
but fixed
if
it
you
myself.
Took your father-in-law
fixed
and say, you know, Dad,
well.
I've got an idea. Let's take a look.
I wonder if it could be that high pressure sensor on the power steering.
I'm just guessing.
But
just an idea, Dad.
Look at this. It's unplugged.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Oh, boy, your numbers would go way up.
There's a Ford in your future.
Well, good luck. I hope you can pull it off.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
All right, see you later.
See you later. Bye. Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another precious hour of your summer listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical spiritual and menu advisor, just back from the Budapest Pigeon Breast Orange Zest Ice Cream Chest Minty Crest and Allerest High Test Calorie Quest, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of allergy research is Teresa Pollinating. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholi. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Audovindo. Our Elvis impersonator from the Cairo office is Amal Shukup. Our accounts payable administrator is Imelda Checks. Our director of summer visits to the in-laws is Don Juan Go. Our Russian gas station attendant is Philip Entopitov. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known at the mysteriously empty ice cream shops in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 2027, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our insomnia-curing best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though hog farmers turn to each other and say, "Imagine working around that all day," whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.